Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to a deep dive, where we try to cut through the noise and get to what you really need to know.
And today, our sources are all pointing towards Texas,
Yeah.
specifically a new law, House Bill 21 or HB 21. We're really zeroing in on how it impacts multifamily operators using housing finance corporations, HFCs,
Yeah.
especially for those big property tax breaks.
Right. Think of it like the map for getting those tax benefits just got completely redrawn. Our job here is to cut through the legalese and show you the practical shifts, the things you need to be thinking about right now for your portfolio.
Exactly. So the core issue HB 21 seemed to target was this concept of traveling HFCs. You had HFCs based in one city, maybe one county, but they were granting tax exemptions for properties way outside their own area, sometimes hundreds of miles away.
Kind of like jurisdiction shopping, maybe.
You could say that. HB 21 basically puts a hard stop to that kind of flexibility.
Putting the brakes on the road trips, then. So now an HFC is what? Pretty much stuck in its own backyard.
Largely, yes. They're confined to operating within the geographic borders of their sponsoring city or county. Now, if they do want to work on a project outside that home turf,
Yeah.
they need formal approval, and not just one approval. They need a resolution or an order from every single local government in that new area, the city, the county, everyone with jurisdiction.
Wow. Okay, that sounds like a significant hurdle, a lot more red tape.
It definitely is. But look, that's just part of it. HB 21 also really changes the game for qualifying for the tax exemption itself.
Yeah.
It's not just about who owns the property anymore.
Okay.
It's explicitly performance-based now. You have to show a verifiable public benefit.
Right, performance-based. So what does that mean practically? This is where it gets granular for operators, I bet.
It does. You've got to meet specific, measurable affordability requirements. Think detailed percentages of your units set aside for residents at different income levels.
Yeah.
50% AMI, 60%, maybe 80% or 100% of area median income.
And it's not just setting them aside, right?
Right. No, exactly. You have to actually demonstrate rent reductions compared to market rates. Often the rule is rents capped at 30% of whatever the tenant's income is based on those AMI brackets.
Okay. And I saw something about acquisitions too. If you're buying an existing property.
Yes, that's new too. If you acquire a property and want the HFC tax exemption, you are now required to spend at least 15% of the purchase price on rehabilitation.
15%. That could be a substantial chunk of capital needed up front.
It certainly could impact deal structuring. And one more big piece, oversight. HB 21 mandates annual compliance audits.
Annual audits by who?
By independent third parties. And the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, the state agency, they'll oversee the whole process. They review the reports and they can charge a fee for this. The estimate floating around is maybe $20 to a restricted unit per year.
Okay, so let's stack this up. Geographic limits, tougher affordability rules, the rehab mandate, annual audits, fees. What's the immediate impact, especially for properties already in the system?
This is, I think, the most crucial point. These new, stricter conditions, the affordability targets, the audits, the rehab rule for acquisitions, they generally apply to all properties claiming the exemption, starting with the tax year after HB 21 takes effect,
Which is likely.
probably September 1st, 2025. So we're talking about the 2025 tax year payable in 2026.
And there's no widespread grandfathering. So if I have a property getting the exemption now, I still need to meet these new rules going forward.
To keep the exemption, yes, that's how the law reads. The operational requirements kick in. Now, for those properties using the traveling HFCs,
Right, the ones outside their HFC's home base.
there's a hard deadline for them. If your property is outside the HFC's new, tighter jurisdiction, you lose that tax exemption completely after January 1st, 2027, unless you manage to get those specific local government approvals before then.
Wow, okay. That's a pretty tight window to navigate potentially complex local
It
approvals.
really is.
So for operators listening, this means, well, definitely more compliance work. Potentially needing serious capital for rehab, it could impact your revenue stream with those rent caps. And then there are the new ongoing costs, the audits, the TDHCA fees.
Exactly. The whole financial calculation, the net benefit of using an HFC program, it might look quite different now. You'll need to reevaluate project viability very carefully, both for existing assets and any new deals you're looking at.
So, wrapping this deep dive up, it seems Texas HB 21 really represents a fundamental shift, doesn't it? Moving HFCs from, let's say, a more flexible financing tool towards one with much tighter local control, higher standards, and frankly, a lot more scrutiny.
That sums it up well. Being proactive is key right now. reviewing your portfolio against these new rules, talking to your HFC, engaging with local governments if you need those approvals. That needs to happen, well, basically now.
The clear takeaway seems to be getting and keeping these HFC property tax exemptions in Texas. It's going to be more complex, more work, and directly tied to proving you're delivering measurable public benefits, mainly affordable housing.
Absolutely. And maybe here's a final thought for you to consider. If these compliance costs go up and the affordability requirements get deeper, potentially pushing rents lower on some units, what does that do to the kinds of projects that can even realistically pencil out using HFC tax exemptions in the future, especially in tougher development markets?